Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter on X at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio dial and you want to keep listening, you can do so with the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company, as he is every Tuesday and Friday here on the program, is, of course, the host of VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast, College Football Betting Tailgate Show, VSiN Primetime, airing on weeknights on Twitter, on X, at 1TimMurray. Good day, sir.
Hopefully it will be a good day, sir. Hopefully it will be. I'm excited. I'm having some serious FOMO right now as I see the videos of folks there in South Bend enjoying themselves, tailgating in the snow. It's going to be an epic one tonight, man. I'm excited to watch it, and then full weekend of football ahead of us.
I mean, surely living in Vegas has made you weather soft, right?
Not totally yet. A little bit. I do find myself wearing a knit hat at nighttime more often than not when I walk my dog. But it does get cold, man. It gets cold in the desert at night. But yeah, we've had an unbelievable weather week here. From that standpoint, it's been like 65 and sunny every day. It's been pretty insane from a weather standpoint for us. So just in time for me to jump on a plane to go to Boise on Saturday.
Well, we're here. We've got the college football playoff. The Grizzlies last night win by 51. It just warmed the heart to see Draymond. Chris Arrington, who's a phenomenal, very smart Grizzlies writer for us here in town, he legitimately said you can make a case it was the worst NBA performance ever from Draymond. Because he went 0-for from the floor, minus 42. He's the first player in NBA history to go minus 42 in under 20 minutes, which feels statistically impossible. But somehow, shout out to Draymond for making it happen. I didn't notice. Did I miss it? I didn't see him running to go podcast last night.
No?
Didn't quite catch that one.
I'll tell you what, man, and I am kicking myself because I do this show twice a week. I host gambling shows with a NBA guy, and I just completely forgot that this would have been the kind of the revenge spot from the Edie situation.
You had the exact. I couldn't pull the trigger today. I couldn't pull the trigger early on Ohio because even though I knew they had all their guys, like, there's also this reality: their guys are not in the portal, also for a reason.
Well. Not to go too down a one.
But I missed, you know what I mean? Like, so in the end, I wanted to fire, and I got caught up seeing 12. The game started at noon, but it was noon Eastern, and then I didn't have it on local. And so when I got ready to fire, it's like they were already up 7-0. So I was like, well, that's just a miss.
Yeah, I've got the old Bobcat Moneyline Parlay this weekend, Ohio to Montana State. Mm. So I don't know.
You
if
might
that,
be one of one there.
I don't know if a Moneyline Parlay like that has ever existed before, but I made it happen this weekend, baby. So hopefully we carry this momentum into Bozeman tomorrow afternoon. But yeah, I did. I had a little on Ohio in like pick 'em pools, whatnot. But yeah, it's tricky. And I guess that's the transition into their former quarterback is in the college football playoff tonight.
And he is starting tonight for the Indiana Hoosiers. And so I guess let's start there because it is our first night. I believe I had a listener tweet in. I believe this is the first non-NBC home game broadcast for Notre Dame since 1990.
Correct.
Okay, so we're going on there by my elite, illustrious math, 34 years of never having a home game on any network other than ESPN. I will say this. It's something I didn't really think I'd be looking forward to it, but I kind of am. I can't wait to see kind of like the whole pageantry angle. So, like, obviously, it's not going to be just a standard Notre Dame home game. It'd be like, for those that follow college baseball, it'd be like a team hosting a regional where they're going to give everybody their own entrance and they're going to try to do it that way. But man, like, I'm kind of fired up for like the pregame of it all.
I mean, everything. I mean, I don't think the college football playoff creators could have really anticipated a much better situation than what we have tonight and this weekend. The fact that the four sites are South Bend, Austin, Columbus, and Happy Valley. I guess an SEC program, like, you know, if this was in Neyland or something like that, that would be maybe make it perfect. But the fact that Notre Dame gets to host the first ever on-campus college football playoff game, if you are nostalgic to the sport, that's pretty good. You know, it's not Notre Dame Bama, which was projected a couple weeks ago, but still, you got Notre Dame in this spot. You got kind of that pesky underdog came out of nowhere, but they've got a coach who is very confident in his squad. It's got a lot of makings, man. Oh, by the way, it snowed earlier today, and there were videos of, you know, cars going into parking lots. There's a video of Notre Dame fans, you know, drinking bourbon and all of that. So there you go.
Yeah, and honestly, I think it's a good first matchup because while I hope that I'm right and that Indiana cannot handle the line of scrimmage, I mean, there is still the reality of, you know, this team has been doubted largely most of the year. And, you know, they had a lackluster performance against Michigan, but they still won the game. Mm-hmm. And then they got, you know, they got curb stomped by Ohio State. But other than that, they've dominated their schedule. And, you know, to me, if I'm Indiana, this is kind of, if I know I'm going to play one of the top seeds, I don't hate this one because I'm going to have to throw it to win it. And I think of the defenses that you want to throw it on, Notre Dame's probably one of them.
Yeah. I mean, you look at the USC game and Notre Dame can be had in the secondary. Their numbers, it's kind of funny when you look at the numbers for both of these defenses. Indiana comes into this game with the best defense in the country against the run. Well, the best rushing attack they faced, I think, was not even like the top 50, and Notre Dame is, I believe, top 5 in the country. On the flip side, Notre Dame, I believe, has, you know, a top 5 passer efficiency defense, but they played Army and Navy, they played Georgia Tech with a backup quarterback, they played a lot of teams that do not
they
throw
played
the
Purdue.
Ball. They played Purdue, you know, they played Northern Illinois, who just wants to kind of run the ball the entire game. They played two passing offenses that were pretty good, Louisville and USC, and both of those teams had relative success against Notre Dame. So I understand why the betting market has taken Indiana today down through the key of 7. And right now, as we talk about this game, it's pretty much mostly 6.5. So you're starting to see a little buyback, which I guess I anticipated. So you're seeing what they call a battle. And And what was interesting also to note is that some under money did come in today. It was a lot of over money, and maybe they were setting it up to kind of slam the under, and that's where we sit right now at 50.5.
So I saw John Ewing of BetMGM say, this is always great when you've already put your bets in, and then you get the director of BetMGM Sportsbook telling you that, hey, man, we really need Ohio State to win and cover, and we really need... I think he said they need Indiana tonight too. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm on the other side of both. That's nothing. I don't. Did you have Derek on last night?
So we didn't talk a ton about the needs for the house for college football, but I'll give you a couple examples. You know, in books, obviously.
To your point, every book's different. I mean, you know what I mean.
So I'm looking at the tweet that you referenced. BetMGM most bet team is Notre Dame. But I did talk
Sick.
To. DraftKings on Wednesday night, and he, Matt Grill is his name. He's the, forget his exact title, but he said they're going to be huge Buckeye fans in that spot. And, you know, that's the one, and we'll get to our bets later. That's the one where I really think Ohio State is an all-time buy-low opportunity against Tennessee. I did talk to someone from the Westgate Superbook today, and they said they will actually be big Notre Dame fans. So,
well, that's good to hear.
Yeah, not every book's the same, and it does feel like Indiana money is certainly coming into some books, obviously not BetMGM. But it's also worth noting kind of differing shops, like Westgate Superbook, that is a Nevada-only book, and BetMGM, I imagine, has shops in the state of Indiana and out there, so you know that's why they could be getting a little bit different action.
No, and I mean, I would suspect most of the Nevada books, right? They're probably going to have more sharp money than, because I think BetMGM is like, I think it's all across the board. So there's a lot of retail, if you will.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
So obviously as a Notre Dame guy, you know, you're saying you got FOMO, but hey, we all have to put food on the table. Is this, of the four teams that you could play, is this the one you would have picked?
Probably SMU would have been a slight lean to them, but I think it was a toss-up between Indiana and SMU.
Is it a little odd? Because I think that's probably what I would say, too. Are we giving Clemson a little too much respect?
I don't know. I mean, they're the biggest underdog of the weekend.
Right, you know, but I mean, I feel like most people would go like, you know, championship pedigree, whatnot. It's like, they literally have not beaten anyone this year.
No, it's true. I mean, SMU
is their one quality win.
But who's Texas's best win?
I think you have to say Texas A&M.
Okay.
And then
they're not ranked.
You could say losing in regulation to Georgia.
You could do this exercise with almost every team.
Oh, I've done it with Indiana.
Indiana, who's their best win?
Indiana's best win is 7-5 Michigan.
Who's Notre Dame's best win? Army? Okay. They had a good scheme against a triple option.
I still think their best win's A&M.
I think their best win's USC.
And not with what's his face, not with the UNLV retread.
Well, then I think that leads to cause for concern for Notre Dame, because Jaden Maiava threw all over them until he threw the backbreaking interceptions.
Kind of. I thought Notre Dame did a very good job in the first half.
Yeah, it was 14-14. I think Notre Dame's offense was very impressive at USC. They were able to control the game with the run, and they were able to basically do whatever they wanted outside of a pretty ugly interception from Riley Leonard in that contest. But, yeah, I mean, look, here we are, and because of the unbalanced nature of these schedules, you know, Penn State, best win, Illinois? Cool.
Probably, right?
I mean, based off of the rankings, yes. You could argue USC with Miller Moss in overtime on the road.
I think maybe here's the reason why I'd be willing to listen to an argument for that one. They fell way behind. And that's the type of game where, all right, they were, I think they were one of the first teams that did the fly across the country and came away with a win.
I think you're right, yeah.
Because I think at that point in the calendar, it was just like, all right, whoever was going across the country, that they lost. I don't remember who won first. Did Stanford beat Syracuse before?
They did. They beat them on a Friday night.
But I can't remember if that happened before Penn State, whatnot. But it seems to me that Penn State was one of the first teams that was willing to kind of conquer that. You fall behind, and you kept your cool. I guess the other question is, all right, in tonight's game, which quarterback would you rather have?
Riley Leonard.
I think so, too. But if
because he can run.
Well, I was thinking, though, is would you feel differently if it were in a dome?
Yes.
Right? I think part of it is I don't know how.
Even though
I don't know if it's going to be
Curtis
a great
Rourke time. Is Canadian.
I know. Oh, no, I'm not even talking about that Indiana will be cold. I just mean I think these are the nights where it's kind of tough to throw. There's still going to be a little bit of wind, and it's cold, and it's ball gets slick. This isn't like the great throwing conditions.
And I think that plays into the hands of Notre Dame tonight, and
yes.
That's why. They're kind of. I don't think they're hoping for a blizzard, and they're not going to get a blizzard. Apparently, it's not even going to snow during the game. Maybe a couple flakes here and there, but I think the accumulation happened over the night. And by the way, I was texting with Pete Sampson, who covers Notre Dame for The Athletic, and I said, "How bad is it?" And he's like, "No, it's great." He's like, "It's good enough. It's enough snow to look beautiful, but it wasn't enough snow to cancel school or to disrupt my day-to-day." So I think it's more of a, like, look how pretty that snow is, but it's not really anticipated to mess with the gameplay. So we'll see, man. I mean, you never know. I mean, they're not too far from the lake, so you can always get, you know, as we saw in Buffalo, that lake effect snow. I don't think they're full-on, like, lake effect snow like Buffalo gets, but I don't think precipitation is really going to hinder this game. Now, the wind, that's where it gets interesting. But back to my initial point, Notre Dame would love this to be uglied up. Let's run the ball. You try to run the ball. And I think Notre Dame would be like, great, we'll win this game if that's the way we're going to play. We have two better running backs than you, even though I think Lawton and Ellison are very good. I would take Price and Love, even though Love's health might be a question mark there for Notre Dame. Running the football, you take Riley Leonard every possible day over Curtis Rourke, who's not a very mobile
quarterback. Well, how many knees has he had now?
Yeah, he is not a guy. And that's the thing, too. Can Notre Dame get consistent pressure on Curtis Rourke? If they do, I think Notre Dame has a good chance to win this game. Michigan and Ohio State got pressure on him, and he really struggled. Some of his numbers, I saw this from I think it was Douglas Farmer over at Covers. He said Curtis Rourke, when facing the top passing defenses, Michigan, Ohio State, 25 of 46, 6 yards per attempt. Other 9 games, 17 of 241, that's 73.4%, 10.6 yards per attempt.
Read me the Michigan combined, the Michigan Ohio State combined again.
25 of 46, 6 yards an attempt.
And honestly, I feel like most of that came on the first drive and then that garbage time drive.
Well, the Ohio State game, they had like 6 yards. How about this? The Ohio State game, they had an opening drive for a touchdown. Then they had the garbage time touchdown that you alluded to. In between that, they had 9 drives, 33 snaps, 6 yards.
If I recall,
9 drives.
I think they went multiple quarters without a first down.
Yeah. I mean, I could, here, let me pull it up. Let me read you. And once again, Indiana's going to have more success than they did against Ohio State, I think, tonight. However, that is certainly worth noting that the best team that they played, these were their drives. 11 plays, 70 yards, touchdown.
It was a great drive. Great script.
Great. They're up 7-0. 6 plays, 8 yards, punt. 3 plays, -7. I think that was the muffed punt.
That sounds right.
8 plays, -4. 1 play, -2. That was a kneel down. 3 plays, punt. That was a punt that was returned for a touchdown. 3 plays, 8 yards. 5 plays, 32 yards.
So they got a first down there.
3 plays, -11. And then you had the 15-play, 75-yard, let's-make-this-respectable touchdown drive at the end of the game.
Okay, so this is kind of a question that I have because, hey, this is our first time doing the 12-team playoff.
Yeah.
I would also even argue because of the rushed effort, it feels like it's even more work in progress than or work in process, if you will. And also, like, you have the reality of they're probably going to change it for sure in 2 years if they don't change it before next year. But we know for a fact they're going to rip the thing up in 2 years and they're going to come up with another format. But I am curious to know if, you know, early in the four-team era, a lot of the semifinals turned out to be blowouts. We don't have massive spreads, but every spread is basically, like, this is the lowest one tonight, correct? 6.5 now?
Yeah, lowest spread, yep.
Okay. Everything is, the other three are over a touchdown. I am curious to know, how many good games do you think we get?
Over under 1.5. We're definitely going to get a blowout, maybe two. And the history of the playoff and the history of college football just tells us that the reason college football is great is there are so many games. So that leads us to having great games every weekend, but there are duds. So I'll say wishful thinking, there's two. I think Notre Dame, Indiana, I think is competitive. One of the two games tomorrow morning will be competitive, and I have a feeling that Ohio State blows out Tennessee.
Okay, we'll talk about that one. Obviously, Blake Topmeyer is going to join us next segment. We'll pick his brain on that one. Here's the other question that I have. Who can TCU Michigan this? In the sense of who is the team that probably has a bad stylistic matchup? Because if you think back going into that game, TCU up front did not have anywhere near the dudes that Michigan did. But they were able to kind of get the game script in their favor, and then the game got frenetic. Well, Michigan wasn't really comfortable in that game. McCarthy played terribly in that game. Who is someone, do we even have that? Is it going to be SMU to Penn State? But like we kind of saw last week, Penn State didn't get the job done, but when the game kind of got shootouty, they didn't fold.
Yeah.
Can Clemson maybe do it to Texas? Because I don't know about you.
I think Clemson has to ugly it up.
I trust Texas's defense, but it's almost the opposite of last year. I don't trust Texas's offense right now, and I do trust their defense. And I'm also curious about this. Did Sark intentionally not play Arch in the SEC championship game to save it for this?
Is he saving it for this, or is he saving it for
maybe next week or whatever? No, because then it'd be.
Is he saving it for Oregon or Ohio State?
Maybe, but
Do we think Clemson is?
I still kind of believe in Clemson's defense.
I do too. So here's, and we'll get to our cards later. So I initially took some Clemson plus 12. It's got worse, so I got a bad number. It's like 12.5 now. So I've kind of negated it by taking some Clemson team total under and kind of hoping I could thread the needle here.
There you go.
I think Clemson's going to struggle offensively against this defense, but I'm with you, man. I'm not convinced. And I haven't been convinced in this Texas team all year. Like, once again, what's their best result? I think defensively against A&M, that was phenomenal. But the offense didn't really do a whole lot. They shot themselves in the foot. They turned the ball over.
Yeah, but that's what their offense does.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
their offense moves the ball pretty well because, let's be real, Sark can scheme it up. But they have not been a good red zone offense.
Yeah. No, I agree.
All right. And then here, okay, so let's talk a little Tennessee, Ohio State as we get ready for Blake. I've already announced, I think I'm destined to get this game wrong no matter which side I were on. If I'm on Ohio State, I think Tennessee's going to roll them. If I'm on Tennessee, which I am, spoiler alert, here's where I do... I understand the argument of Ohio State's wide receiver room can clearly take advantage of a suspect, at times, Tennessee secondary. The problem is there has only been really one team to do that this entire year, and it was Carson Beck really in the second half against them at home. And honestly, Beck didn't get enough credit. Like, that was maybe the best half I've ever seen him play. He was incredible. Number one, I don't think Will Howard is anywhere as close to as good as Carson Beck. And then secondly, why am I supposed to believe all of a sudden Ohio State can figure out their offensive line? It just has the makings to me of, like, I just, in my head, I kind of see the Tennessee-Alabama game all over again. Because Alabama was able to throw it on them a little bit.
Where was that game played?
The game was in Knoxville. But I'm not so sure if the game script goes a certain way, are we sure it's better for Ohio State to be at home? I mean, I think the answer is yes, because you'd always rather play at home. But, man, we've talked about it. Like, that crowd, if they go three and out or they have a couple of bad drives, there's going to be boo birds.
Sure. Are they going to be able to run Dylan Sampson against that D-line?
My guess is yes.
Against the best, and I get it. You know, Michigan had success running the football, but you're now giving
kind
Jim
of.
Noel.
I mean, we say they had success. I think they got like four a carry, which is good, but it wasn't like they just shredded them. But, I mean, Tennessee was able.
Four road games. I don't count Vanderbilt, so really three, because there were more Tennessee fans there. And Nico and this offense did not do a whole lot against Oklahoma. They lost to Arkansas, and they lost to Georgia.
Yeah, I guess this would be my argument. They, in the first half, they were able to run the ball on Georgia a decent amount. Now, in the second half, Georgia gets credit because they adjusted and they largely shut down the running game. But the other flip side of this is, I mean, wouldn't you rather have the coaching advantage of Josh Heupel?
I would take Jim Knowles over Josh Heupel from a scheme standpoint.
I mean, this is the other great thing. Like, this is something that we've kind of wanted all along in the, all right, let's find out. Like, Ohio State's maybe not the perfect team because Ohio State kind of builds their roster like an SEC team does anyway. But I don't know, man. There's just, I know I could be, it scared me that I'm finding out I'm SpongeBob SquarePants. But it's like, man, I don't see any reason why Ohio State should be a touchdown and a hook better. Where is their clear, decided advantage other than receiver? And the problem with that receiver is someone's got to throw him the ball.
I think they have the better quarterback.
I feel like Nico makes fewer mistakes.
On the road? Are they? I don't think Dylan Sampson's going to be able to go nuts in this game. And they're going to be forced to have Nico make some plays. Maybe he will. I trust this defense for Ohio State more than any unit on the field. Tennessee's defensive line, ultimately, I bet this game under the total. And I took Tennessee team total under as well. Like, that's the way I bet it, because I do think Tennessee, to your point, should have some success up front against a makeshift offensive line for Ohio State. But also, the way I've bet for my whole life is, anybody out there want to lay the points with Ohio State? Anyone?
No, I do understand it. Like, honestly,
75% of the bets at DraftKings on.
I really did think about. I Tennessee. Swear to God, I thought about doing the take Ohio State to win the national title and then Tennessee money line. Because, like, that's the other thing. I think Oregon, rightfully so, is the clear favorite, but now that we know for sure, and you and I never really entertained the possibility that it wasn't the case, but Carson Beck is done.
Yep.
Like, someone else is going to have to play Oregon. And I know Ohio State's going to have to meet him early, but it's almost like, is Ohio State going to be in that weird spot where, like, if you knock off Oregon, like, who's left?
By the way, the bet that you didn't make might end up being a good thing because Jacksonville State is driving.
I'm watching
a chance to get in.
Well, and Ohio's like doing that move where they're just trying to get out of here. But
yeah, they're like, can we just get this bowl win?
Yeah, they're trying to get out of here. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, let's talk about this game with Blake Topmeyer. We'll do that next. Before we do that, I want to also remind you the holidays are quickly here. Next week is Christmas, but there is still time to get over and see our good friends at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This holiday season, you can take advantage of all the fabulous engagement ring options, whether you want to choose from handcrafted engagement rings in unique, trendy, and fashion-forward styles that she'll adore, or you want to do something one-of-a-kind and get the custom-made engagement ring. That's what I did for my wife. You can do either right there at Robert Irwin Jewelers. It's a fantastic shopping experience. As someone who had absolutely no clue about the entire diamond buying process, I cannot recommend the shopping experience that I had with Robert Irwin Jewelers enough. Also, check out some other top holiday trends. Diamond earrings, always popular gift for her, tennis bracelets, as well as diamond necklaces. Also, you can shop now and pay later with 12 months interest-free financing or take up to 60 months to pay. They will be open on Sunday, so head on over to Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their 5 locations, or you can shop online at rijewelers.com. When we come back, Blake Topmeyer joins the program. Let's talk some college football playoff with him next, right here on Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Scheduling note, we were scheduled to talk to Blake Topmeyer, then Blake just texted me that he is on an airplane, so we'll have to talk with
Blake. What, he doesn't have the thing in front of, do those not exist anymore? The ones you put the credit card in, you pop hook, out the phone?
The phone from Captain Hook, or whatever, from Hook that Robin Williams used.
They don't have those anymore?
I do not think, they definitely don't have the those anymore. I've never tried, have you ever tried to make a... Like, if you get the Wi-Fi, have you ever tried to make a Wi-Fi call?
On a plane?
Yeah.
No. I text like
right,
crazy.
Right, yeah. Like, you can do that. I've never
do actually... Do you oblige and do you go in airplane mode?
It kind of depends. I mean, I used to always, like, part of it was maybe just kind of like the punk in me. It's just like, it used to drive me insane. It's like, really, if my... if the signal from my phone can take this airplane down, we got problems. You know what I mean? Like, it was just kind of it was kind of that. And then also, a lot of times it used to be how were you greeted by the flight attendants? If they were like if they were reasonable and they were in decent spirits, I would try to not make their lives hell. But you could sometimes, especially on freaking Delta, you can get some flight attendants with attitude.
I'm flying Alaskan Air tomorrow. I think that might be
underrated airline.
I'm trying to think. I think I flew them to Alaska or to Vancouver.
No way.
I believe. But yeah, I'm this. I don't think this is my maiden voyage in Alaskan Air, but I don't fly them often, and I'll be flying them tomorrow.
Well, they're largely West Coast. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Like, even though you're in Vegas, like, it's more of like
they don't do the DC to Orlando regularly.
Yeah, I'm nearly certain their hub is SeaTac in the U.S. In the continental U.S., I should say. All right, so here's a couple other things I wanted to pick your brain about. All right, so I looked it up for you, going back to the Tennessee-Georgia game. So Dylan Sampson finished the night with 101 yards, I believe, on...
Sorry, are you watching this thing? So Ohio's running back just went 2 yards and then carried for... what amounted to be like 35 yards.
That good tackling?
Like, it just kept going and going.
I will say, so I don't know, what's the clock at for you?
I'm probably a little behind you. I'm on YouTube TV, so I think
Nope, you're ahead of me.
Oh, okay.
I have no idea how that's... Comcast, it blows me away how, like, streaming is even...
These dudes on Jacksonville State just stopped. I almost thought he would score a touchdown on that play.
If you're out there with Ohio... -6.5, T's and P's. Like I will say.
Well, can I do a little gambling?
Well, I would say the rare. I don't know how you feel, but like we've always talked about, like if the line goes against us, we've never won a bet in our lives.
Correct.
But if the line goes with us, if we get closing line value, it's a coin flip still. So we've got nothing better. I used to think that I would bat about 1,000 on the games that I wanted to bet and didn't bet.
Oh yeah,
this is the rare documented exception of if Jacksonville State does not, if Jacksonville State doesn't get the ball back, this is one of those rare ones that I would have lost something that I always felt like you win every single bet you don't make and then you lose every bet you do make. This would be the rare flip.
So just to point something out real quickly, you often hear from people who say, well, what does it matter if, you know, I bet 6.5, if you bet 6.5 and I bet 7.5 and it's 10, you know, game ends in 10, we both win our bet. And it's like, yeah, that's true, but numbers do matter. And Ohio opened up at like a 1.5 point favorite. And a lot of this was news related and bowl games are weird, but when you're chasing a game and you're seeing a massive line move, these types of things can happen. Case in point, Memphis and West Virginia, right? I mean, that thing closed like, what, 6.5, 7?
I think by kickoff it was 5.5. But to your point,
down? Yeah.
But I mean, to your point,
you could have got Memphis pick 'em.
I got it at 3, and I thought I had a good line.
Right. So, you know, numbers matter in gambling. I know that's pretty easy to say, but, you know, that's, I'll give you another example. And on my podcast on Thursday, and I talked about it on Wednesday at VSiN, and who knows, every number could clear, but I bet a player prop, and the player prop has now moved 9 yards. So I'm like, I don't really want to give out Mitchell Evans over 36.5 when it was 27.5 a day ago. But
no, I'm the same way with, like, I ended up not firing on Tulane, but, you know, like you, I have to do a picks segment.
Yeah.
And, you know, when I had to do a picks column, and when it came out, the line was 14. It's like, okay, I'm cool taking Tulane with 2 touchdowns there, but man, now that it's down to 10, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, I can see Florida winning 28-14.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, sometimes numbers don't matter. Sometimes line moves don't matter. But yeah,
like when we're talking about like the Clemson line, like you said, you've got 12. I've got 12.5. That's
kind of a dead number.
Yeah, that's what, to me, it's like, if I like it at 12, I probably like it at you know, if I like it at 12 and a half, I probably like it at 12. Now, if we want to say down to 10, to me, it's all about key numbers.
Well, and there are people out there, you know, and today we saw, let's use Notre Dame, Indiana, for example. It was 7.5 most of the week. Notre Dame was a 7.5 point favorite. We saw the 7.5 start to disappear. And then today we saw the 7 start to disappear. And that was when the guys who manipulate the market and move the market said, okay, this has gone too far. We're in on Notre Dame. And that's why you're starting to see 7s start to reemerge there. But yeah, I mean, look, betting the bowls, I'll say this. I love betting bowls. I love watching bowls. I've had good bowl seasons. I've had horrible bowl seasons. Like, you just, you know, it's an information-based thing. It's kind of, like, I find it fun. Like, I'll be honest. Like, I've always loved the bowl games. That's why Andy Williams' It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year is my favorite song in Christmas. Because, not because I've heard it a million times, but because they used to have those...
The ESPN jingles.
ESPN jingles.
Yes.
And as a kid, I'm like, this is awesome. And I like doing the homework and finding out and kind of trying to play Dr. Phil. Like, who cares about this game?
Yeah, no, the armchair psychologist.
I find that fun. People out there don't find it fun. That's okay. To each their own. So, like, I bet Ohio on a money line parlay, as I mentioned, and I took them in a pick pool because their head coach left. Jacksonville State's head coach left. The difference is Ohio hired their interim head coach to be the full-time head coach. So they're kind of, all right, on the ground running, let's roll through this. And Jacksonville State had a bunch of guys in the portal. But, you know, give credit to Jacksonville State.
I think 13 of the 16 are playing. Like, they are in the portal, but I think 13 of the 16 are playing. Also, just a quick shout-out to the officials.
Calling a targeting.
One last targeting. It's your last bowl assignment of the year. One last chance to fire a targeting flag.
Make every moment matter, baby. I can't wait for this dude to hit the portal, go to Missouri, and have to sit out the first half of their game in August because of targeting.
So if the – and I think it's going to stand, too. Ohio can take knees, but after the penalty, the ball will be at the 30.
Punch it in, baby! Your boosters know.
Is this a 60-minute game?
Dude. Boosters know, man.
Well, that's all the thing. It's like you also want to turn around to some of your boosters. Like, what number did you get it at?
Yeah. Did you guys get it a money line?
Did you get it early? Like, what?
Did you lay 5.5? Oh, you did? Okay. What if they kick a field goal?
Well, that was a big part of the Memphis. You mentioned the Memphis-West Virginia game. Ryan Silverfield made the decision on 4th and 2 to try a 49-yard field goal. And rather than try to in the game with his offense, with his last game with Seth Hennigan. And everyone's like, why'd he do that? I was like, the number was 5.5.
They know the number. Brett McMurphy wrote that article. They know the number.
They all do.
Yep.
James Franklin?
Timmy Chang came on my radio show on a gambling network 2 years ago and goes, we know that our win total is, I think it was 3.5. He's like, we're using it as motivation. I'm like, there you go.
Oh, the call was reversed. All right. You got to go knees here, right?
Just keep the Bobcat moneyline parlay alive here, Ohio. Come on. I don't care about my
pool. Go to the knee. All right. So back to Georgia. Dylan Sampson ran it 19 times for 101 yards against Georgia. I should note, basically 70 of those yards came in the first half. I think we're going to know. I feel like in that game, we're going to know in the first 10 minutes of watching it what we're in store for.
So and once again, like, I don't make my own numbers. I have people that I respect. Obviously, they make their own numbers. They bet that way. I do a show.
I've never figured out what stats to use for a power rating.
I just use kind of, and once again, it's not common sense, but I use a lot of, like, how much did this line move? Is it an overreaction? And look, I tried a couple times this year to bet against Indiana. Didn't really work out all that well, right? I mean, like,
I'm going back. I lost my way.
Well, I mean, the thing about it is that they didn't cover two of their last three games, right? Indiana failed to cover against Michigan and lost to Ohio State. So the juggernaut that was Indiana ATS actually didn't end up being the best cover team in college football. It's very good, but it wasn't the best.
For the record, the only two teams they played with a winning record.
Yes. Is that right? Yes.
That is, yeah, they had two covers against. So if you went bowl teams, they were 2-2 against the spread. But if you went teams that had to have a winning record, it was Michigan and Ohio State. Okay. While on the flip side, I know everyone likes to make fun of Notre Dame's schedule. They played six teams with winning records. They went 6-0, and they went 5-1 against the number.
No, they lost to Northern Illinois. I think they're 7-5.
Is no? I looked it up. I put winning record, but maybe I did.
I think they're 6-1.
Maybe I did P4 teams with winning records.
Yeah. Well, the Notre Dame, by the way, against the closing number, Notre Dame 10-2 ATS. They're two non-covers, Miami of Ohio and Northern Illinois. As long as they don't play the MAC, apparently they're a juggernaut against the spread.
Well, and then this is another good spot for Marcus Freeman. I think it's when the spread's under two touchdowns, he's like 13-2-1 against the number.
Look, since he took over, Notre Dame's the best cover team in college football, since he's become the head coach of Notre Dame, so starting in 2022. And yes, he's got some really bad losses. Obviously, Northern Illinois, Stanford, Marshall in his first year, all of those games he was north of a two-touchdown favorite, as you pointed out. So he's also got a pretty good track record so far on extended rest. He's won and covered both his bowl games. I guess you could include Oklahoma State in there. I don't, but technically I guess he was the head coach at that point. Yeah, I mean, you can play trends and you could play numbers every which possible way you want for tonight. I think it's going to be a grind. I think to me, this game reminds me a little bit of, I know it feels like a million years ago, but it reminds me of Notre Dame Texas A&M in the sense that that game was just kind of a slugfest until the end, and Notre Dame broke a couple big runs and they were able to pull away and get the victory. But I will say a worry for me is that Notre Dame's kicker is a disaster.
Don't kick.
Mitch Jeter, the USC transfer, South Carolina transfer, was very good early on. Then he got hurt, and I was there at the USC game. It was as beautiful of a day as you could have asked for in LA. No wind, 70s. He lined up to kick a 28-yard field goal and missed it. And I'm like,
well, tough angle.
I'm like, uh-oh. This is not good. So I think the intangibles play out. Look, Indiana plus 15 in turnover margin. Notre Dame plus 16 in turnover margin. Is it simple to say team who wins the turnover battle probably going to win the football game?
I think if you say you can let me see one number, I don't actually think I want turnovers. I think I want rushing. Because if we see that Notre Dame's able to like, let's just say they just run it to their average, I think they win the football game. Because that means that Notre Dame's controlling the line of scrimmage, and usually when we get to this point in the year, it's usually the big people that decide this.
I think for me, why I think Notre Dame ultimately wins the game is that the offensive line has been playing much better lately, and their two running backs and quarterback run the ball much better than Indiana. And I think that's what it boils down to. And that's why ultimately I mentioned, you know, Mitchell Evans. I think Mitchell Evans for Notre Dame is kind of an X factor today, because they're going to load the box. They're going to want to force Notre Dame to throw the football. I don't know if Notre Dame's going to want to try to take big shots. They did not do it really against Texas A&M. They don't have a wide receiver core that they trust. Mitchell Evans is a guy that had 7 catches last year against Ohio State, 6 for like a 134 against Duke, and he tore his ACL on October 28th against Pitt. He wasn't healthy until lately. And I think he's going to be a massive piece to the game plan tonight. And he's just going to find spots in the zone. Kind of like, you know, I'm not trying to compare him to Travis Kelce, but you know how when you watch a Chiefs game, you're like, how is he open? He just finds little nooks and crannies and zones and just sits down, right? I think that's what you might get today from Mitchell Evans, because Indiana and I'm not a big X's and O's guy, but everything that I read, they are pretty much exclusively a zone team.
Yeah, that's usually what you do when you're undermanned. I mean, I know this is not technically true, but if Notre Dame were playing JMU, who would you take?
I don't know, man. Is it the JMU that put up, what, like 60 on UNC earlier this year? God, I am watching College Game Day right now. I do not want to be hosting this show.
Yeah, it is an unbelievable scene right
God,
now.
God, I want to be there so bad.
A tremendous, tremendous scene.
And I've been to, I would say, over the last like two decades, man, think of the biggest games that have taken place outside of the COVID year when they played Clemson. It was number one, and obviously I wasn't going to go to that. I've been to most of the big, big games in there. I was at Ohio State last year. I was at USC in 05, and I'm not there tonight.
Eh, there's always next year to go to the first ever playoff game.
I blame the Idaho Potato Bowl.
The famous, is it still the famous Idaho Potato
Bowl? Famous Idaho Potato Bowl.
So congratulations if you were somebody that did take the nasty dog that is that is Jacksonville State. Congratulations. What a backdoor cover.
The Bobcat parlay still alive, though.
Still alive. Ohio wins the game. Jacksonville State covers the number. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we've also got some college basketball. Big one for the Tigers tomorrow as they take on Mississippi State at home. Also, we'll get into a few other things happening around the world of sports. We'll do all that next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.